Well, good morning. We don't have a pastor. Oh, I see him coming. But it is good to be back together again today. Last week, we had a little obstacle of no electricity. And so we worked our way through that. And then we lost a tree yesterday and a piece of siding. We worked our way through that. And yesterday, no, Friday, the air conditioner wasn't working on that side of church, and we worked our way through that. So God is good. Oh, and one more thing. The copier wasn't working, so I made a call, and in about 2 seconds, I had a call from Rapid City, and he walked me through that over the phone and told me how to fix that. So all is well, and we're glad to be here today worshiping in God's house. And the doors are open in the back there, so if you don't feel comfortable sitting here in the sanctuary, we can supply hymnals in this fellowship hall, and you can try to social distance yourself in that way. So, we all ready to sing? All right.
Good morning. Psalm 100 says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." Let's start this morning singing "In Christ Alone," which is a song that talks about the incredible gospel.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my
next song, we're going to do a medley and sing Father, I Adore You with More Precious Than Silver, Our Lord You Are. We've done this before in the past a couple times, but this is one where we sing in a round. So we'll start singing Father, I Adore You, and when we get to the second verse, if this half will sing with me and the other half will sing with Hattie, we're going to do some rounds. So the first time through is pretty traditional, and then it gets a little exciting. So, and we mix up the harmony. If you want to sing with me on the harmony, you can, or if when we change it, or if you want to sing the regular one, you can certainly sing it with Hattie. And then we'll transition into More Precious Than Silver. Everybody will rise and we'll sing. the song together.
We pray. What a day that will be when we see you face to face. Lord, take us by our hands and lead us to that beautiful, glorious, promised land. Send your Holy Spirit's blessings to all of us here present today, and yes, and those that are listening in their homes. May our hearts and our thoughts be fixed on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's remain standing as we recite the Apostles' Creed, please. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. In your bulletin, we have the call to confession and the prayer of confession and the assurance of pardon all put together. So I will begin with the call to confession, and this comes from Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. Remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is able to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. In every respect, he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God, and we'll do this in unison. Most merciful God, whose Son Jesus Christ was tempted in every way, yet without sin, we confess before you our own sinfulness. We have hungered after that which does not satisfy. We have compromised with evil. We have doubted your power to protect us. Forgive our lack of faith. Have mercy on our weakness. Restore in us such trust and love that we may walk in your ways and delight in doing your will. Amen. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is found in 1 John 1, verse 9. I have a few announcements to make this morning. The offering plates are at the back of the church, and each week the designated offerings are listed in the bulletin. And this week it's for the general fund and the building fund. And next week, the offerings are going to the General Fund and the Mission Fund. Pastor Dave and Ruth are home. Praise God. Pastor Dave sent me this email and asked that I convey this message to the congregation. Greetings from the Landigents. We are happy to report that after about 45 days in Rochester, we finally made it home this past Friday night. It felt so good to be back home. At this point, I'm still very exhausted, but all my cancer marker numbers look good. Thank you for all your prayers and patience during this long stretch. I hope to be taking on more work as time goes by and look forward to preaching again, hopefully in the near future. Have a blessed morning of worship, and we hope to see you all soon, Pastor Dave and Ruth. A few notices in the bulletin. Tom wants me to emphasize that he would like to have some more people volunteer to be worship leaders, since we don't know Pastor Dave's status. But I think Bruce Lucas said last week something about asking Pastor Frank to pitch a couple more innings. So we're asking Pastor Frank to pitch a couple more innings. Then, are you still taking orders for peaches, Melissa? Yes. Today is the last day to do that? Okay, so see Melissa if you would like some peaches. Do you can them for us too and freeze them for us? And a note in the bulletin also about Lane Vanderwaal's graduation. It seems like so long ago when people were graduating and we didn't really know how to graduate, but we want to offer our congratulations in a belated form to Lane to this Saturday. So, let's go to the Lord now in a time of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of coming to worship today in this sanctuary, a place of peace and quietness. Right now, it seems that there is not a lot of peace and quiet in this world, and may we find that here today. Thank you for those that have come to worship with us this morning. We think of those that are not able to worship in person and ask that they too might receive a Sabbath day's blessing. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. We have received a timely rain again this past week, and we thank you for answering our prayers for rain. We pray that you would continue to provide adequate sunshine and rain for the crops to mature. And thank you for sparing us from devastating storms. We pray that you would bless the offerings given today. As we bring our gifts to you, may it be with cheerfulness and joyful hearts. Grant that these gifts may be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. And we are so very thankful that Pastor Dave and Ruth are back in Volga. Pastor Dave is in need of much encouragement and patience as he regains his strength. Lord, it is our prayer that he and Ruth would feel your power, your presence, and your love. We pray that Pastor Dave would be restored to full and complete health. We're thankful for what has been accomplished with the stem cell transplant and that his body would recover in due time. Give wisdom to the leaders of our country, our state, county, and local government officials. May they be seeking you for wisdom, knowing that they cannot lead and govern on their own power, but it is with your power and wisdom that leadership can and will be accomplished. We pray also for the school board members, the administrators and teachers in the local school systems and colleges as they make wise and appropriate decisions concerning the beginning of the new school year. Enable them to lead and teach safely and effectively our precious students. Also asking, dear Lord, to keep safe the essential workers in our community, the healthcare workers, the first responders, firefighters, police officers. We pray for their safety and for courage as they continue to protect all of us, your people. Lord, we also pray for the consistory of FRC to make wise decisions. May they be able to effectively lead our congregation. And thank you for keeping us together during this pandemic and also while Pastor Dave has been going through the stem cell transplant. The Education Task Force needs your direction also as it pertains to the beginning of the Sunday school year. Grant leadership abilities to the other task forces, the Buildings and Grounds, Congregational Care, MESA, and Worship. And now we pray for a clear mind to Pastor Frank as he brings a message to us from your holy word. Give all of us attentive hearts and minds to hear your truths presented this morning. And thank you for Pastor Frank's willingness to prepare and bring a message to us each week as he is filling in for Pastor Dave. Lord, you are so good to us, and we are most grateful and thankful for all the many daily blessings that you bestow upon us. We pray this all in the most precious and holy name. Amen. And now the praise team will bring us a message and song. Come on up to this house.
So the song we are singing this morning is called Come On Up to the House. And it is a gospel song by Tom Waits. He's kind of a southern blues singer. It's a little more upbeat than his version, though. This is a little bit more of a bluegrass version. So, and really what it talks about is regardless of what goes on in life, come on up to the house. You have problems, you have trouble, life is going all crazy on you, well, come on up to the house. And this is a song that I've had on the back burner, I think almost since we started singing together as a group. But there's so much music out there, right? And the time was never quite there. And then with COVID and like us not coming to church, now I get emotional. So us not coming to church, it helped me, like I miss church. I miss coming to church and being able to come up and gather together. And that's so special. And it's wonder like the people and just the church and having that. It's an amazing thing. So this is a song of praise. It's kind of upbeat, and regardless of what's going on out there, come on up to the house. The house of God. So
are glad that they have come to this house and to bring us a message and song. And thank you for your time and dedication and talents of helping us to worship and enhance worship. So now it's time for all of us to sing. Turn to page 368 in your hymnal, Whiter Than Snow. And you kind of wonder, like, why did he choose Whiter Than Snow after we've had all this hot, hot, humid stuff? But anyway, verse 1, Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want you forever to live in my soul. I want you to forever to live in my soul. So number 368, please rise to sing, and we'll sing all four verses.
Well, is Bruce here? Where is he? There he is. Well, I will be more than happy to pitch a few more innings. You know, I watched the other night, I watched the Twins play the Twins. Did anybody see that game? Well, anyway, I think you all know by now there's no crowd, there's no audience or anything. And I thought it was kind of amazing how they piped in all this audience applause and everything. And I'm thinking, well, that's what we should do here. If I'm going to keep pitching, we need to pipe in some applause to make me feel better that no. I'm loving this. I'm loving this. I'm anxious for Pastor Dave to get back too. But if anybody that knows me knows that I just absolutely love preaching. So I'm here to pinch hit or pitch, whatever it is. Okay, so we have been going through Mark, and we have, I've been trying to get different themes that we've been working on. I mean, like grace, and what was it last week? We talked about faith, I believe it was. But I like to break it down into a theme, and that's kind of what I did today, what we're going to be talking about wholeness. We're going to be talking about wholeness. We're made whole. And when we respond to Jesus, we will be made whole. And I think that's what this passage is telling us this morning. So let me read. Last week I couldn't see at all because it was so dark. We didn't have electricity. But I'm getting worse and worse as far as, I'm going to have to go back to the eye doctor, I think. Okay, Mark chapter 6. I'm going to be reading verses 53 through verse 56, okay? When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, and they anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Gracious God, what a most awesome God you are. And Lord, we are so fortunate to be here this morning on this day of worship, that we can come into this sanctuary. We went so many weeks without being in the sanctuary, but now we are back. And Lord, I just pray that you will continue to bless our worship and continue to bless worship throughout our nation, Lord, that we will continue to be able to be in our churches worshiping you. And Lord, I pray that you guide our service this morning. I pray that you will hear our words, hear our songs, hear our prayers. Lord, guide us. And Lord, we are especially grateful that Pastor Dave is back. And we just pray that you continue to be with him and guide him in his healing, Lord. And when he feels up to it, Lord, we will welcome him back with open arms. We just thank you. Guide and direct us now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to tell you a little story. You know me, I like to tell stories. It's about a day that Jesus came to a village and he found a man there who was blind. And he laid hands on him and he prayed over the man. And the man was healed completely. And the townspeople were so appreciative that they built a church. And they called it the First Church of Laying on Hands. So Jesus went to the next village, and there he found another blind man. So Jesus spits on the ground, and he makes some mud, and he applies it to the man's eyes. And he tells the man to go wash in the pool, and the man received his sight. And these townspeople were so overjoyed that they decided to start a church in Jesus' honor. And they called it the First Church of Here's Mud in Your Eye. And then Jesus goes on to the third village, and he finds a third blind man. So Jesus tells the man, if you go and wash in this pool 7 times, you will receive your sight back. So the man does as Jesus says. The third set of townspeople was so appreciative of God's work that they built a church in Jesus' honor. And they named it the First Church of Washing 7 Times. And much later, the Lord called all of these groups together for fellowship. But over the course of time, they began to break down over doctrinal issues as to how healing takes place. One group said, you can't heal unless you lay hands on those who are sick. And the second group said, well, that's fine, but if you forget the mud in their eye, it doesn't work. And the third group said, you guys only have part of the truth. Washing 7 times is a real key. Well, the contention became so great among them that they broke fellowship between them. None of them wanted to fellowship anymore with heretics. Well, that continues today, doesn't it, folks? That continues today. We've got so many different churches, so many denominations, so many ways of doing things, so many ways of healing. But the truth of the matter that it is Jesus Christ, it is Jesus who does the healing. And no matter how he does it, Jesus is the healer. And that's what we're going to see Jesus doing in this passage this morning. We're going to see Jesus doing the healing. Do you see what Jesus is doing in this passage? Did you see it? Do you see how Jesus is healing? The last seven words of this passage tells a story. And all who touched him were healed. Now that's what our NIV says. How many of you read the NIV? Are there other ones that you read? You know, when I'm preparing a sermon, when I'm working on a sermon, I've got four or five Bibles laid out on my desk. And I look at all of them. I read all of them. Well, I like the NIV, but this particular passage, the King James Version, really caught my eye. How many of you read King James? A few. Some churches, that's the only thing you can read is the King James. But the King James, what this version says, this translation says, it says, as many as touched him were made whole. As many as touched Jesus were made whole. Now the NIV says they were healed, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the King James Version goes a little bit deeper, doesn't it? It says, as many who touched him were made whole. I think the healing that the NIV seems to be more of a physical thing as we think about it. If we don't really dig deep into it, if we don't really read some other translations, it seems like it was a physical healing. But when we think of being made whole, that seems more like a physical and a spiritual healing, doesn't it? It's more holistic. It's more spiritual. It's more theological, I think, to think of us being made whole. I think these folks in our story this morning were being made whole in both senses. And I think that's what Mark is telling us here. Then when we respond to Jesus in faith, as we talked about last week, when we respond to Jesus in faith, we will be made whole. So there's some things that I want to cover here, some truths that I think this passage tells us. I'm going to give you three truths, and don't pastors always go in sets of threes, right? Every time they preach, there's three things that you got to count out. But I'm looking at three different truths that happens when we respond to Jesus in faith. The first thing I think this passage tells us is that we must recognize him. We must recognize Jesus. Now, the people of this region here, they certainly did recognize Jesus, didn't they? In verse 54, it says, as soon as they got out of the boat, Jesus and his disciples, the people recognized Jesus. Well, Jesus was starting to get quite a gathering. Everywhere he went, Jesus was preaching and he was teaching and he was healing and he was chasing out demons all over the place. So the people got to hear Jesus and they got to see what Jesus was doing. And Jesus got quite a crowd of people who started to fill up. He built a great reputation. And if you remember last week when Jesus was preaching, he was in a house. And that house was full of people, and the outside yard was full of people, all people all over the place. And that, remember last week we talked about them putting the paralytic down through the hole in the roof. But people came to hear Jesus, and they came to watch Jesus. They recognized him for the right reasons. They might not have recognized him as the God in the flesh come to save us from our sins. They probably didn't do that at the time, did they? This all happened later. This all happened later, if you remember, when Jesus ascended up to heaven, and then the Holy Spirit was given, right? The Holy Spirit was given, and that's when they really recognized who and what the Messiah was all about. So they didn't really recognize him, but they were starting to get an idea that this was somebody pretty great. But anyway, Jesus was easily recognizable. Now, another story I got to tell you about a middle-aged woman who had a heart attack. And she was taken to the hospital, and while on the table, she had a near-death experience. And seeing God, she asked, "God, is my time up?" Well, God opens up his book, and he said, "Nope, you have another 43 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live." And the lady, upon recovery, she decided to stay in the hospital and have a facelift and liposuction and a tummy tuck, and she had somebody come in and change the color of her hair. Since she had so much time to live, she thought she might as well make the most of it. So after the operation, she was released from the hospital. Then while crossing the street on her way home, she was run over and killed by an ambulance. Arriving at front of God, she demanded, "I thought you said I had another 43 years left, God." And God replied, "I didn't recognize you." See how I got that recognize in? That's why I told this story, recognize. Well, they recognized Jesus, didn't they? They recognized Jesus. Jesus, guess what, folks? He hasn't changed one single bit in 2,000 years. And today, we should have no trouble recognizing Jesus for who he is. He is the Lord and Savior for all who want to be made whole. Now, how can we recognize Jesus? Well, he's here, isn't he? Haven't we every single week, as we're going through Mark's gospel, haven't we been reading about Jesus and recognize who and what Jesus was all about? So we have his word. We have his word that tells us. We also have our church. We have our church. Millions, we don't have millions here, but millions of people on earth in church come together to tell who Jesus is. Sharing testimonies, as we did last week. Rose shared a testimony. We share testimonies what Jesus is doing in our lives. And we have something else, too, that is very important. Does anybody know what that is? When we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get the Holy Spirit. We get the Holy Spirit who comes in and lives within us. And the Holy Spirit gives us direction, tells us all about Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is to guide us in knowing Jesus better and following Jesus and letting Jesus be our Savior. So, folks, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for anybody not knowing Jesus, for not recognizing him as Lord and Savior and as the Son of God. That's what Mark is all about, is telling us all about Jesus, the Son of God. And Mark puts Jesus into action as you, I hope you continue to see that each week. Remember I told you how Mark was, he's an action guy. And he looks at Jesus as being in action. And again, who is Mark writing to? These persecuted Christians in Rome. These people that are really being persecuted. So Mark is telling them all about Jesus and how you can have Jesus, how you can know Jesus, and how you can be saved for all eternity. So the first truth of knowing that Jesus will make us whole is to recognize him. We need to recognize him first. The second truth that I think Mark gives us is we really want to have what he has to offer, don't we? We want to, and there's so many people that don't want what Jesus has to offer. How many of you have ever done a study in Revelation? Anybody? I'm always amazed reading through Revelation, and when people find out finally that Jesus is the Savior, they still don't want him. Can you imagine that? They still don't want Jesus. They still reject him. And I'm always, it's one of the things I'm always amazed when I read through Revelation. How many people continue to deny Jesus Christ at all? So do you think these folks here wanted Jesus? Do you think these folks here wanted what Jesus had to offer? Let me read once again through verses 55 and 56. Mark writes, "They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, and countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let him touch them." Do you feel the intensity? I didn't read it very intense. But let me tell you, this is an intense verse. If you go back and read the verbs that Mark used in this, you can see, and every good writer uses action verbs. Let me read it again with emphasis on the verbs. They ran through the region. They carried the sick mats. They placed the sick in the marketplace, and they begged him to let them touch him. Yes, they wanted what Jesus was selling. They wanted what Jesus was selling. I think Jesus was probably the world's greatest salesman, and he also had the world's greatest product for sale, didn't he? It's easy to be a good salesman if you got a good product that you're selling. What was Jesus selling? Salvation. Jesus was selling salvation. Actually, he wasn't even selling it. He was giving it away. And this has never, ever been matched by human history. Jesus was making people whole. He was making people whole. Now, I think this is a good place to stop and think, what does this mean? Being made whole, what is that all about? Well, it's about confessing Jesus Christ and being saved for all eternity, right? That's one of the things. That's one of the things that we can talk about. Jesus is making people whole, that they would be saved for all eternity. This is most definitely a salvation message, isn't it? But I don't think that's all what it's about. I don't think that's all what it's about. Recognizing Jesus as our Savior and accepting him, his offer of eternal life. But I think being made whole includes something else. I think it includes a lifelong process of becoming holy, of being made holy. You know, in Scripture, God says, "I am holy, so you too, therefore, must be holy." So it's a lifelong process of becoming holy, of being made Christ-like. There's a theological term. Does anybody know what that theological term is? Sanctification. Has anybody heard that word before? That we are being sanctified? There's three steps that we have of reaching eternity. Do you know what they are? Justification, have you heard that? We are, when Christ went to the cross, totally sin-free, he went to the cross to save us from our sins. At that time, when we confess Christ, we are justified in God's eyes. In other words, we are made perfect in God's eyes the moment that we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Christ went to the cross to pay for that. So that's the first step, and that step is instantaneous. We are justified. The second step is being sanctified or sanctification. It's a lifelong, when you are justified, it's a lifelong process until you end your time on this earth. You now, if you have all confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, you now are in the process, and it's a process, of becoming holy. You are in a process of becoming like Christ, totally sin-free. In God's eyes, if you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are totally sin-free. Does that make sense? And that's what becoming, being made whole is all about, is being like Christ-like. The third step is glorification. That's when you leave this earth and you come into Christ's presence and you spend all eternity with Christ in heaven. So justification, sanctification, glorification. But let's go back to sanctification, the process of being made whole. All this stuff that we're going through on earth right now, folks, you are being sanctified. You are being made whole. You know, God put us on this earth to be whole. You know that, don't you? Adam and Eve were put in the garden, and they were whole. They were Christ-like when they put in the garden. But God gave them the freedom to choose. They chose sin. And so have we, because we have inherited that sin nature that Adam and Eve had. So you might say, well, God, it's not fair. I wasn't there. I mean, I wouldn't, if I would have been Adam, I wouldn't have sinned. God said, yeah, you would have. So God knows us better than we know ourselves. But anyway, that's what that's all about. And we are being made whole right now. And that's what Jesus offers us. And that's what Jesus wants us to freely, he doesn't pound it into us, he wants us to freely accept that. There's a cartoon of Lucy and Charlie Brown talking, and Lucy says to Charlie Brown, I would have made a great evangelist. And Charlie Brown answers, is that so? And she says, yep, I convinced the boy in front of me in school that my religion is better than his religion. And Charlie Brown says, well, how did you do that? And Lucy said, well, I hit him over the head with my lunch bucket. Jesus doesn't do that, does he? He says, come to me. Come to me. Jesus wants so badly, he simply offers us in love to come to him. And that's the only way that we can get what he has to offer. So, okay, the truth so far, the first truth is we must recognize him. We must know who he is. We must figure out who he is. Secondly, we must really want what he has to offer. The third thing that this passage tells us here is we must reach out to him. We must reach out to him. I go back to the King James Version in verse 66. As many as touched him were made whole. Every single person who made that effort to touch Jesus was made whole. And that's what it's about, is reaching out to Jesus. Remember the story we we shared a few weeks ago from chapter 5. Remember the lady who had been bleeding for 12 years? Remember that lady who reached out and just touched the hem of his garment? She had been bleeding for 12 years, and she reached out to Jesus. And what happened? Immediately, there's that word again, immediately her bleeding was stopped. And Mark chapter 5, 29 says, she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Not only her suffering of her physical suffering, but she felt that Jesus had come into her heart. Did you all feel that when you confessed Jesus? I don't know how old you were or when it was or whatever. When you confessed Jesus, you know that song that we just sang, Whiter Than Snow? We were made perfectly whole, right? Did you feel that? Did you feel the Holy Spirit come into your heart? So that's a requirement that we have. We have to reach out to Him. It's a requirement Jesus has for us to be made whole. We must reach out and touch Him. Of course, we're not talking about a physical touching, are we? It's the faith, reaching out to Jesus in faith as we reach out to Him. In order to be made whole, we must confess Him as Lord and Savior. We must submit to Him as Lord of our life. We must repent of our sinfulness and put it all into His hands. That reaching out brings salvation. It brings salvation. But Jesus not only wants a one-time reaching out, He wants a daily reaching out. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants a loving relationship with us. It can only come as we continually come to Him. It is in that way that we are made whole, that we become whole. Again, sanctification. A daily relationship with Jesus Christ as we reach out to Him. So I pray today that you will all respond to Jesus and to be made whole. Recognize Him as your Lord and Savior. Know Him intimately with all your heart. If you haven't confessed Him, I hope you do today. I hope you confess Him as your Lord and Savior. You know, I think Jesus wants to make you whole. The passage that Rose shared with us last week from Revelation chapter 3:20, I will end with this. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. So today, dine with your Lord and Savior. Have dinner with your Lord and Savior today and every other day for all eternity. Let's pray. Gracious God, oh, we just thank You. Thank You that You want us to be whole, that You want us to come to You and reach out, that You want us to want what You are giving away. Lord, guide us now. Be with us in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us stand as we sing hymn number. What number we got here? We got 297. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. May God bless you. May he walk with you as you go out today, and may you be made whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.